To God be the glory for a moment such as this, when we can't sit and catch our breath, when we can divulge into God's word, when we can listen that we might see where our stories might converge or diverge from the stories of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Indeed, all over the world. I wonder, as I look at you, how are you? How is it with your soul since we were last together? How are you embracing the journey with brothers and sisters in the Syracuse community of churches? Are you beginning to feel some peace? Maybe? Not sure? Here we are, invited to think about Abraham. But in thinking about Abraham, we think about ourselves, for we have all had at one point or another God speaking to us. In thinking about Abraham, we cannot help but think about multiple questions that are raised not only in the text that has been read, but also questions that the text invokes within and among us. And so as we sit with the theme, a radical purpose, I would have us consider the following five questions. Who am I? A question of identity. Who really are you? Who really am I? A question of identity. Where am I from? Where are you from? A question of heritage. Where am I going? Where are you going? What is our future address? A question of destiny. What can I do? What can you do? What can we all collectively do? A question of potential. Why am I here? Why are you here? Why are we all here? A question of purpose. Reading and hearing the story of Abraham, one cannot help but, among other questions, think about these questions. But for our purposes this morning, I would invite us to think about Abraham in relationship to the question of purpose. For God has good purposes for all of us. God has divine purposes for you and for me, indeed for all of creation. And in thinking about Abraham in relationship to God's purposes for our lives, we will equally think about those moments when we experience tension in this journey called life. Those moments when we must wonder, surely, what is God's purpose? Or what are God's purposes for us, be it as individuals, be it as families, be it as congregations? But we will also think about what happens when we lose focus, or when we are unable to identify God's purposes for our lives. What happens as we will think about biblical characters that speak to us in Abraham's lineage? For instance, think with me about brothers such as Cain and Abel. They were brothers, but what happened? Cain ended up killing Abel, which makes us think that abuse is about or inevitable or is about to happen in a moment we lose focus of God's purposes for our lives. I want to think that if Cain had been focused, if Cain were celebrating God's purpose, not only for his life, but also for his brother Abel, I doubt he would have been jealous of Abel's offering. But we also have other examples in Scripture. Think with me about Jacob and Esau. How did they understand God's purposes for their lives? If indeed that had been clear, I doubt that Jacob would have been in cahoots with his mother Rebecca to lie and deceive so much that Esau would end up losing his blessing. Think also about relationships such as that of Samson and Delilah. I want to think that if indeed that had been a meaningful relationship, Delilah would not have offered Samson into the hands of his enemies. Think about Job and his friends. If indeed they had been clear about God's purposes, I doubt when Job needed his friends most, I doubt they would have simply sat silently with him without engaging in conversation that would have been meaningful to him. Think about Jesus and his disciples. What kind of relationships do we find between Jesus and Peter? Do you think Peter would have denied Jesus if indeed he had been clear of God's purposes between him and his brothers? Do you think Judas would have betrayed Jesus if indeed he had been clear of God's purposes in the person of Christ? Do you think Thomas would have doubted the resurrection if he had been clear of God's purposes in Christ. And come now back with me in the everydayness of life. Think with me about families. However we define families, do you think husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, might share or break the same bread, share the same house, and not be in right relationships? What happens when we are not clear of God's purposes for us as people of God? What happens? There is bound to be abuse, disrespect, all kinds of conflicts when we are not clear of God's purposes for our lives. And so in such a context, we have the story of Abraham. And as we listen to Abraham's story, I want to ask us to compare notes. I want to ask us to exchange ideas. I want to ask us to see if there might be something we might learn about God's purposes as we think about Abraham. Abraham, on one level, represents, among other things, what I may call the transitional character of human beings, represents for us what I may call a character in and among us that is not static but is ever rising to the example that has been set before us in the person of Christ. I want to think that Abraham represents for us something that you and I may not find in God's dictionary, a language of impossibility. I want to think that Abraham represents for us that which is possible in your life and that which can be possible in my own life. I want to think about Abraham as one who challenges you and I to move beyond the traditional confines that sometimes pigeonhole us. I want to think that Abraham is speaking to you and to me even now as he embodies for us that which we could be and become. Abraham speaks to us that surely with God, that surely in relationships that move beyond boundaries that so often confine us, all things are and can be possible. Can you hear Abraham's voice speaking to you and to me? Abraham, you will remember in Genesis chapter 13, having heard the voice of God, becomes aware that he's not alone and so turns to Sarah and to others such as Lot and says, won't you journey with me? Won't you come with me? Won't you travel with me to this place that God is calling us? Abraham recognized that it was not simply about him. And so he turns to Sarah, he turns to Lot, he turns to others. Indeed, he recognizes the resources that God had endowed him with. And he invites them along that they might journey together. And along the journey in Genesis chapter 13, we are told that something happens. There emerges a conflict between Abraham and Lot. As Lot gets to be so focused on land, land that he considered most fertile. You know the story. And I want to think that Abraham, in the midst of such a conflict, turned to Lot and said, no problem, Lot. You can have the land. For I know that everything belongs to God who has called us on this journey. Surely, Lot, I have my priorities in order. God first and property later. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Lot, you can have the land, but I must continue on this journey that God has called us to. And Abraham continued on a journey that I heard St. Paul turning to Timothy and reminding Timothy, even as he reminds you and I, that we brought nothing into this world and we will carry nothing with us out of this world. And to this effect, Jesus would say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you. Abraham had his priorities in order. How about you and I? How is it with you and your relationship with God and others? How is it with us? How do we relate, especially in moments of conflict? Abraham has a word for us. When God turned to Abraham and said, Abraham, arise and go, you will remember with me that there was no GPS. There was no compass. He did not have a roadmap. Can you imagine Abraham, 75 years of age, rising and going? What does that mean for us? At a time when we so much are accustomed to relying on GPS for direction, how do we hear God speak to us? And how do we take steps of faith? Abraham would further be challenged to the core of his life, as he did not simply hear God say to him, arise and go. But this God who was calling Abraham equally turned to him and said, I will change your identity. You will no longer be known as Abram, for I will call you Abraham. And this God has since turned to you and to me as he turned to Sarai and said to her, Sarai, I will equally transform you. You will no longer be called Sarai, but Sarah. The same was the case with Jacob, who God would call Israel. The same was the case with Saul, who was transformed to Paul. The same was true for our brother Peter. This God who transformed their lives is the same God who is in the process of transforming you and me and the next person. How is God transforming you? How is God transforming us in the context of United Methodist congregations in the city of Syracuse? How are we hearing God speak to us? And how might we respond? Abraham embodies faith for us, that we indeed can be people of faith and celebrate our faith, even when we struggle, discerning God's purposes for our lives. That yes, even in moments of conversations when we may agree to disagree, we refuse to be disagreeable because we are aware of a higher calling, of a higher purpose. That in conversations with God, indeed in conversations with one another, there are those moments when we will pause. There are those moments when we will ponder, but there are also those moments when we must rise and keep walking, for we too are being called. God would continue to call Abraham, that even after Abraham and Sarah realized God's blessing in the birth of their son Isaac, there was that moment when Abraham knew that God was not through with him. As God turned to him and said, take your son, Isaac, and lay him on the altar for a sacrifice. Can you imagine hearing God stretch Abraham that far? And yet, even in that voice, Abraham remained obedient. I cannot imagine being Isaac, seeing my father turning to others and to me and saying, let's make this journey to Mount Moriah. Isaac knowing very well Mount Moriah being a mountain of sacrifice. And Abraham giving Isaac the wood. And Isaac, Abraham, together with others, making this journey to this mountain of sacrifice. And I want to think at some point, Isaac turning to his father even as they paused along the way. Surely, Dad, we have the wood. Indeed, Mount Moriah is the mountain of sacrifice. But where is that lamb that is about to be sacrificed? And the word tells us that Abraham turned to Isaac and said, God will provide. Surely God did make provision. And you and I can bear witness, for we have equally seen God's provisions in our lives. And yet there are those moments when our faith gets to be so stretched. In that moment when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, God made provision for a lamb. That we hear again another conversation between God and Abraham. Yes, God, I was ready to sacrifice my son Isaac. But lo and behold, you saved him. Why did you save Isaac? And later, Isaiah bears witness. As he prophesies about the coming of a Savior, and we hear Jesus' birth announcement again and again, as Isaiah had so spoken. For unto you, indeed, unto us is born a Savior who answered Isaac's question, where is the lamb to be sacrificed? Jesus, indeed, becomes the answer to Isaac's question. And we hear yet again God speaking to Abraham and saying to Abraham, yes, my friend, I had to save your son Isaac. For in your son Isaac was Jacob, and in Jacob was Reuben, Simeon and Levi. In Jacob was Judah, Zebulun and Isaac. In Jacob was Dan, Gad and Asher. In Jacob was Naphtali, Joseph and Benjamin. Yes, Abraham, Isaac had to be saved, for Jesus would be the lamb that would save the world. This God who spoke to Abraham is the same God who spoke to Ruth and Naomi. Is the same God who speaks to you and to the next person. Is the same God who will not let us go and will keep nudging and will keep stirring our spirits. That even when we want to look the other way, we cannot, because this God wants a relationship with you and me and with the next person. Why are we here? What are God's purposes for our lives? How do we discern those purposes and how do we respect them? How do we celebrate God's purposes for our lives? Perhaps you will agree with me that God's purposes for our lives can only be experienced and discerned in relationships one with another. God's purposes for our lives can only be fulfilled in relationships with one another. That in looking back, we see the hand of God bearing witness. In sitting with ourselves and with our brothers and sisters, we bear witness to still God's voice continuing to speak to us about purpose, about potential, about destiny, about heritage. God, give us the grace to live out our purposes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the blessed Holy Spirit, and God's people said,